Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Juliet Weber is a filmmaker originally from Auckland's Remuera. While overseas working on a film on Chinese sweatshop practices, she was embarrassed to find she didn't know more about the social conditions back home. This led her to explore South Auckland in an attempt to get behind the stories we see in the media and learn about what life's like for those who are struggling in New Zealand. The film she ended up making is called Trouble Is My Business. Simon Pound talked to her on the eve of the documentary's cinematic release.
When I came, it wasn't a happy environment.
The fights, there was so many fights that happened. There was gangs also in school.
It was quite scary, actually intimidating.
There was a lot of wagging and stuff, like the people I hung around with, they were like, oh no, come on, let's wag, you know.
I thought, oh no, I'd never learn anything here.
First up, tell me, what led you to be interested in doing a project about South Auckland?
I've always wanted to make a documentary, and I had been involved in the film industry, you know, ever since I started working, but as a producer. I was in New York developing a documentary about Chinese garment workers in sweatshops, because I've always been interested in inequality, and you know, that's the subject that I'm interested in. But it was one day when, you know, it took me quite a while to get the trust of that community in Chinatown, like quite a while. And it was when one of the Chinese garment workers said to me, oh, you know, what's it like? What are the social issues like in New Zealand? And, you know, they were asking me these questions and I was like, I'm not sure that I really know. Like, I was just at that moment realising that I didn't know enough about my own country. And then I started to question myself, like, why am I making a documentary in New York? I'm a New Zealander. I haven't seen that many cinema verite documentaries made in New Zealand. There are a few, but it's not a big thing in New Zealand. And so I just thought, I've got to go home and make a documentary there. That's what I should do. So I thought, I went back to New Zealand and I thought, what will I make a documentary about? And I grew up in Remuera. And I just thought, it's really strange that I haven't spent a lot of time in South Auckland, even though it's actually quite close to Remuera. And I had often read about South Auckland in newspapers and, you know, in the media, but it was often quite negative. That's just what the headlines were, you know, tended to be about, you know, crime. And I just thought, well, I'd really like to know where that all comes from and what it's really like there. And I wanted to do an in-depth documentary that looked at the causes, you know, like the social issues behind the headlines in a way.
So what was your process of getting involved and starting to understand South Auckland?
Well, I thought, okay, I want to make a documentary in South Auckland, but I'm not from the area, so I really need to go out there and work. And I couldn't just decide on a topic because I didn't have the trust of the community, I didn't know the community, and I didn't know the issues. And it wasn't the kind of film where you could just like read an article in a paper and think, yes, that's my subject, and go and make it. It's like I needed to really understand the area. What I did was I opened up the telephone book and I started ringing organisations in South Auckland and I said, you know, I really want to volunteer, and you know, and I explained to them that I'm a filmmaker and I wanted to get to know the area. And I got a job at Monte Cecilia Housing Organisation, which was kind of like an emergency house where people that didn't have houses at that particular moment, they were living in cars or they'd been kicked out of their house, they were able to apply to stay there, and then they would work with the social workers to hopefully get into a state house. So I volunteered there for quite a while and I really got to know the staff, and they sort of took me in under their wing. From Monte Cecilia I went and worked in a women's refuge in Mangere as well, which was a totally different kind of experience. And obviously I never thought that I'd be making a documentary about any of those people there, but I just also got to know a lot of the women that came through the refuge and really got to understand some of the issues that were going on in the community. What really inspired me was when I was working at Monte Cecilia and I was given a research project of interviewing all the women that had, or a lot of the women that had been through the organisation and were now in housing. You know, I chose a few women to interview for my documentary, and all their issues, it seemed, stemmed from when they were like 12 or 13, and they'd made specific decisions that had led them to end up being, you know, in their 30s with five kids on the DPB, which was the three women that I interviewed that were all in that situation. And they were all retraining in education at that point, but they'd made these early decisions at that young age that had led them to the situation where they had never worked and they were on the DPB. So I felt that rather than make a documentary about one of those women, that really I needed to go and look at a high school, because that was the kind of the important moment in a child's life, which can steer them off in a certain direction. So that's when I rang high schools and asked to volunteer there.
What happened then? Was it a case of just turning up and starting filming, or did you have to earn trust there?
No, I rang Aorere College and I asked a volunteer there, and I actually said, well, funnily enough, we've actually got a 7-hour a week job. It's an arts coordinator. Would you like that job? And of course I wanted that job because it was perfect for me. Like, I could, you know, bring art to the kids and kids to art, and something I felt passionate about. And also it would give me a chance to sort of get to know the school and get to know the people there and see if there was an idea for a documentary. I also ran a film club where I taught some boys to make films, so I was pretty busy at that time. But it wasn't until I saw Mr. Peach out in the playground with a megaphone, and he was Pākehā, and most of the kids at the school were Māori and Pacific Island, and he was out there yelling at the kids to get into class, and I was just like, who is this guy? I had never met him in the staff room, so I didn't, you know, I realised he was a teacher of some sort, but I was just like, who is he? And I found out that he dealt with all the kids, like, he dealt with the truancy, he dealt with the discipline, and anything to do with the students, that was his job. And I just thought, he's a great subject for a film because he's my way into the social issues. And also, you know, I was really curious about the fact that the kids didn't seem to mind that he had a megaphone and that he was yelling at them to get into class. And I kind of identified, to be honest, with, he had a kind of anger about him, about he wanted those kids in class, he wanted them succeeding. And I totally identified with that, you know, because I felt that, you know, I could see that there was a sort of a ground down feeling that, you know, frustrated me. And I just felt like Mr. Peach sort of, he was just doing everything he could. I could see that. So I knew that he'd be a great subject for a film.
That's the bell, guys. Let's move off to class, please, everybody. Let's go, boys. Hurry up, please. Get up and go to class. Hurry up.
Seriously, you sound like a crooked record.
I know.
What kind of situations did you see through these kids?
You know, a lot of the situations that Peachy dealt with that I filmed were to do with truancy and, you know, I guess, you know, there were problems with gangs. We did have gangs in school, and there were just often, you know, there were a lot of normal teenage problems like influence of drugs and influence of peers. But, you know, I was talking to Alicia about it afterwards, who was one of the girls in the film, and she was saying, you know, it was really hard being a girl at that school because you had to be either like really tough and fight, or you had to be silent, particularly, you know, for the prettier girls. But, you know, for any of the girls there, it was quite a difficult kind of environment. And, you know, she herself would admit that she, you know, had to fight her way out of situations, which made it so difficult for her, you know, like, and actually, you know, often she kind of found herself quite scared by some of the other girls, you know, because she was, you know, being bullied by some other girls in the class, so.
Having been through this experience, what have you learnt? Do you think that you know, is Mr. Peach who made such a difference for these kids, is he an unusual case, or did you see a lot of hope in these schools? What did you learn?
I felt really hopeful that there was a Mr. Peach in that school, and you know, I really believe that, particularly in a school like Aorere, it was really, really important that there were teachers there that really showed how much they cared and that they really understood the students. You didn't have to be from the area to be one of those people, but for Mr. Peach, it really helped him to connect with the students. But I just feel that those kids especially really needed to be, you know, to have people around that showed that they really cared about their futures. It's not just about whether they turn up to school, but their long-term futures. They needed that, and that's what Mr. Peach showed them. So I guess I feel hopeful and also, you know, concerned for those kids, because I kind of feel like so many of them have so much potential, and if only they could have the right people around them to lead them in the right direction.
What's it meant for the kids? Was this a unique thing for them, having someone coming and being interested in their stories? And what did you learn from them about what they feel about how the world normally treats them?
Yeah, I think it's been a really interesting process for the students to be involved in the film. One of the best parts of the process for me was taking the film back to the community. And what I did once I'd finished editing was I went and showed all the families that were majorly involved in their homes in South Auckland. And the most amazing thing for me was that they really liked the film and they really understood the humour in a really deep way. Like, they were laughing and, like, they could see the ironies and they understood what I was trying to say with the film. And, you know, one of the aunties said to me, you know, you've portrayed our lives and the reality of our lives, and that's why I like your film. And for me, that was just such a strong validation for what I'd been trying to do, because I really wanted to, you know, I wanted to be an observer that allowed them to tell their own stories. That was the kind of documentary I wanted to make. And so I felt like when she said that, I felt like, yes, I've succeeded in what I wanted to do. You know, I've allowed them to tell their stories.
That was Simon Pound talking to Juliet Weber. Her film, Trouble Is My Business, opened on Thursday. If you're in Auckland, you can catch it at the Academy. To find out more, check the website troubleismybusiness.com. Coming up after the break, we talk to Bo Runger.